listening to the Omega Man Radio Network.
Are you ready? Ready to take a ride? Grab your coffee and strap yourself in, because the show is about to begin. From the front lines of America, Babylon, and transmitting worldwide on the internet and satellite, you are listening to Omega Man Radio Network with Shannon Davis.
All right, we're back. Episode 384. Nathan Liao. This program tonight is called America's Second Pearl Harbor. Is it imminent? You can check out Nathan on his website, watchmanscry.com. Also, in addition to the programs that he records and broadcasts through the website, he can also be heard on the Survive to Thrive network each week. Let's get Nathan back on the line. Nathan, welcome back to the program.
Hour number four?
Yes, sir. And the microphone is yours. We've been discussing the Book of Lamentations. Nathan, as you're reading that, it's got America written all over it.
It does, doesn't it? It's incredible. And I just want to continue on where we left off. We were citing and reading some of the scriptures that painted the picture, the canvas, and illustrated what we're going to be seeing in, as the judgment continues to unfold. And we were reading in chapter 4. And isn't it amazing in 4:18 and 19? That's police state right there. It has it all over it. They tracked our steps so that we could not walk in the streets. Our end was near. Our days were over, for the end had come. Wow. Our pursuers were swifter than the eagles of the heavens. They pursued us on the mountains, and they lay in wait for us in the wilderness. And that is why, you know, people can have a bug-out bag and have their MREs saved up. It's exciting to get all those things ready. But if a person does not hear directly from the Holy Spirit and the voice of God, some of their strategies will be in vain, because we need to be guided by the steps of God. And if even hiding in the mountains and trying to be swift in the wilderness may not work because we will be overrun by the enemy, it's going to take people that are in the hand of his wing. We're talking remnant strategy right here. We're talking having to hear from the Holy Spirit. Go this way and not that way. Wait a little bit, etc. So I know it's real popular right now on so many websites and forums and blogs to talk about, basically, I guess I can illustrate it this way, the camouflage-wearing Bubbas that can't wait for doom to happen because they have their AR-15 and they're going to be set and everything's going to be fine. This thing is not so that people can show off their shiny AR-15. This thing is to judge the land, and it has to do with hearts. And if people are quote-unquote remnant believers, or part of a remnant group, or some members of a militia group, or they have their storage as well, if their hearts are not right with God, they're also going to be a part of the body count, plain and simple. This is about repentance. It's about God judging the stains and the history of the trampling of his word over this land. It's payback time now.
Nathan, and when Nebuchadnezzar had besieged Jerusalem, and the prophet Jeremiah was sent there to bring warning and to declare the judgment that was going to fall on the land and tell them that they would go into captivity, but if they would continue to obey, well, they would obey the Lord really for the first time, because they were in that shape because they hadn't and they'd rebelled. Well, they could be saved, but and brought out of captivity in a future date, like maybe 70 years later. But the point I'm making here is there were those that chose to pick up the sword, and they died by the sword. And the Bible is very clear that in this hour, as God allows judgment to be poured out on the land, if we seek to take up the sword to fight, we could be fighting God himself, folks, and you don't win that battle. He that seeks to save his life will lose it, but he that will lose his life for my sake, Lord Jesus says, will save it. And so, you know, let me throw this out for consideration. I'm going to give it back to you, but, you know, we're fighting also a spiritual warfare, Nathan, against Satan and his host of hell, demonic spirits. We encounter them every day, just about. And these are real entities that want to kill, steal, and destroy, and that's their marching orders. And they're doing that in many cases. People perish for a lack of knowledge about who they're fighting against and how to do warfare. You know, they overlook the Ephesians 6, but there are people that say, well, I'm going to hide out in so-and-so location. you know, the devil's angels are everywhere, Nathan. And are we going to think that we could escape the eye of even a demonic spirit? You know, it wouldn't be anything for them to reveal the location of someone that thought that they were hidden out by their own devices. And then, you know, they'd give the actual coordinates, and a truck pulls up in your gateway, folks. You can't hide from Satan and his demons. In this end time, your way of escape is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he can hide you in plain sight. You know, he can confuse all the the systems out there. It's been done in the past, and it can be done in this hour here. But I'm here to say, if you think, to Nathan's point, if you think that you're going to rely on the arm of the flesh and that's going to save you, when God is allowing this to be poured out for redemptive purposes, you're sorely mistaken out there, folks. Those plans will fail. Let me give it back to you.
And this is a whole other program, and I have wrestled with this one topic, and I've had some Survive to Thrive programs about it, and I think that there are so many, and I've talked about this, so many different scenarios for rules of engagement that are going to take the witness of God, they're going to take the discernment of God, the wisdom of God on how to react, respond, and be used. For example, if it's a red dawn scenario and the Chinese are all invading, well, the general tendency is for us to, of course, do our job as patriots and go down fighting because we're being invaded. That's one scenario. Or there's another one, the New World Order beast empire is doing its thing, and then the people are going to need to decide, do they go out in a blaze of glory or what are they going to do? That's another scenario. But then the scenario of the Katrina thugs and the bad guys, the marauding gangs, I believe that's a whole different category in itself, because I believe that the hammer of God exists on the earth, and the hammer of God can be exhibited in different ways, but God does use human agents. So
I would concur with you there, Nathan, and I'll be the first to tell people out there, I do own firearms. It's my Second Amendment constitutional right, and there's a difference between protecting your family from people that would go looting, rioting, and civil unrest situation, okay, and protecting them. You have a responsibility to protect your family from those that would want to rape them, steal, and destroy and kill you. But I separate that from the point where we've advanced a little bit, and you've got a New World Order APV, armored personnel carrier vehicle, at your door, and we're in a total martial law scenario, and it's a communist New World Order government, and they said, hey, you know, we've come for you and your guns. You know, folks, at that point in time, I'm not fighting for my survival from someone, you know, like a Katrina or a LA riot situation. We're fighting against the beast, and you can't beat the beast on the arm of the flesh. People tried it back in that day, and they failed. They went down to Egypt, and, you know, it didn't work out. They trusted in horses and chariots, and it didn't work. There is a time coming where your arms is not going to be able to save you, and in that scenario, I would have to lay down, and if I was arrested when the concentration camps, so be it. God could get me out of there. But also, God could prevent you from going there to the beginning. If you're listening out there and you're judging yourself now, you may not have to go to the concentration camps. So I would agree, Nathan, there's a time for using it, and then there's a time where that's not going to be the scenario to survive. It's going to be the patience and faith of the saints. Let me give it back to you.
You know, I've had this conversation with so many people, and who knows how they're going to react, because I could see both sides. I mean, I really can. I was talking with my wife just 2 days ago, and we were discussing if the Chinese invaders are told they can have a bride, they can rape and pillage. My wife said, you know, I know that there's the patience of the saints and all, but if that's how it's going to play out, she asked me, she goes, will you give me one of our weapons, and I'm going to go out in a blaze of glory because I'm not going to be raped. My wife told this.
Well, you know, Jesus did say, he said he that lives by the sword dies by the sword, but he also said when they persecute you in the city, flee to the next. So I think there's a time where it would not be appropriate to defend your life at the point of a gun, but he didn't say you could run like heck.
Right. So before I get all the emails that say just be a lay down and, you know, just it's very complex, and it takes the wisdom of God. I guess that's the bottom line.
Well, amen. And I know I may have offended some people out there, but you know what? Listen, I was ready, locked and loaded to fight the invader. And God had to get a hold of me, and he said, you're going to have to trust me in that hour, because he that lives by the sword die by it. And, you know, God is able to deliver you, you know, if you're awake, if you're alert, if you know what time it is, and if you're obeying the Lord and you're doing what he's asked you to do. If you're not, folks, you're toast.
Exactly.
Let me give it back to you. But
okay.
I love America. I do believe in protecting my family. My grandfather was in the Air Force. My father was in Vietnam. And I worked for the DOD, and I'm not a pushover. But the Word of God is what it is. It's the ultimate test, folks. If God requires you to lay down your life, what will you do? Will you buck him and say, I'm not going that way? Jesus said, pick up the cross and follow me. He was going to lay down his life. And you know what? He that seeks to save his life will lose it in that time. But again, you've got to use that. It's applicable to the time that you're living in. And right now, if someone breaks into my house, you're going to have to look at a double odd buck, 12 gauge.
Right. Marauding gangs of zombies. They're a whole different.
Amen. Let me give it back to you.
Okay. So it's complex. And listener, go to my archives. I've talked about it and I've qualified, and there's a lot of different scenarios, rules of engagements, et cetera. And, I don't want to digress because there's a lot of more information I want to share. So getting back to what we see coming. In chapter 5, you mentioned the Chinese being offered and comparing it to the land of Egypt, where they ran out of money and then they had to give their land, the deeds, and then they were slaves. Look what it says in chapter 5, verse 2 of Lamentations. Our inheritance has been turned over to aliens and our houses to foreigners. It mirrors so much the United States right here. And that's what we see happening. That's going to continue to happen. It's going to play out entirely. There's never going to be a real estate bounce back, dead cat bounce, recovery, the recession's over, everything's going to be great. That is a pipe dream that will never, ever happen. It won't happen. This is it. The wealth of the United States is going to pour out, vaporize, evaporate. It's gone because we're under judgment, and this thing's going to play out until the rearrangement of the world happens. For the beast to rise up, the United States needs to go away, and the wealth of the United States in the trillions is going to get reestablished and transferred to other locations. And that's what we see happening here. Verse 4, we pay for the water that we drink. Water's not easy to come by in this time. What would cause that? Why would that be? Does that mean the infrastructure doesn't work?
Oh.
Does it mean that the pipes are broken or the water works?
How about a Texas-style drought?
How about a drought?
5,000 acres reduced to 2 acres, and it's red water. How about a combination of all of the above, Nathan? Take it away.
And our wood comes at a price. That's talking about heating. The sources for heating, heating oil, heating just the source to keep your house warm, it comes at a price. In the days of old, the family man goes into the woods, chops down a tree, and splits the wood, etc. But in the future, are there going to be limitations to that? Is there going to be limitations to travel? Are there going to be new rules? Will the wood be so expensive where people live? What are the reasons for this? That's, by the way, one reason I think that if a person is shrewd and they're able to, if they have the ability to generate their own heat and they live in the right location geographically, it's smart and wise to have a good wood pile, to have preparation beforehand so that, you know, this verse right here, this is my driving force. When I get up and I go into the woods to chop down a tree and cut it up and chop and buck it, split it, I do that with this verse at the back of my mind. I meditate on it. Our wood's going to come with a price. And I tell myself I'm going to do my part, at least to keep my family warm as best I can. And this is one of my motivations. But this is what we're looking at. Verse 5, they pursue at our heels. We labor and we have no rest. I remember hearing from some of the whisperings and confessions of those that are the participants of the New World Order plan to bring down America, where the American economy is now a second and third world economy. And I have heard the testimony from some of those that have said that America is going to be so broke and the people are going to be so poor that the only thing they think about when they wake up until the time they go to sleep is finding food and water, because it's so rare, it's so hard to come by, and their wages are so low. That's the type of lifestyle we see in Yemen and in the Sudan and in Africa. The people are so poor. The poverty is so horrible. You know, they walk for miles and miles just to get enough wood to start the fire once, to dig roots from a tree. Or that's a whole different way of thinking. But that's what we're going to see happen here in America when life changes. And if this EMP thing occurs, this event, this is what we're going to see, and I'm almost done with reading from here, and I'm going to segue into the EMP, but verse 8, look at verse 8, servants rule over us, there is none to deliver us from their hand. Who were the servants of jokes and puns and casual conversations that we've always taken for granted here in America? The hired servants of Americans from the South, from below the border of the Rio Grande, We all know about that. The Mexicans come over and they get a job as the maid or the bartender or the landscaper, etc., etc. They're the servants. I have been hearing some reports that there have been American retirees that have been so butchered in their retirement savings accounts, the value of their wealth has depleted so much that their only possible way of surviving is to move to Mexico.
And to yes. survive.
On their Social Security. And I believe you have experience with that. You know some expats that's their only way to survive.
Well, absolutely. On the retirements, they cannot afford, you know, even an apartment and medical care, so they go south of the border. I will tell you that there was a time in my life not long ago, brother, that I found myself even in a similar situation, and I was so broke that I, as an American, could not even afford to live in the USA. I had to go to Tijuana, Mexico, and walk every day to the border and walk a mile to a factory there just to make ends meet. And it was a humiliating experience. But it's becoming more and more common now with the prices rising. And, yes, there are people that's the only way they can survive is to go south of the border.
So, once again, Lamentations is coming, isn't it, Shannon? Servants rule over us. So the Caucasian, proud, arrogant, 20 years ago Americans find themselves down south and knocking on the doors of some person down south, asking for a job, asking for a pittance to feed their family, Shannon. How might have the tides turned? Americans down there asking to mow lawns and be a landscaper?
Interesting.
Brother, I want to tell you something. I'm seeing a trend down here where I live on the East Coast where I see people of all ages out on the side of the road in the hot sun holding up a sign to try to direct traffic into a building, a closeout sale, whatever it may be, a restaurant, Little Caesar's Pizza. And they're sitting out there, whatever they're making, it's a minimum wage, and they're out there holding up these signs, people desperate for work.
It's incredible how it's occurring right before our eyes. So verse 8, servants rule over us. There is none to deliver us from their hand. The rest of your life, that's the way it's going to be. Sorry, you thought you were going to retire in the golden years and go buy an RV and pull slot machine handles for the rest of your life in Vegas and in Indian casinos. Sorry, that plan has been canceled. Now it's just survival. It's incredible how things are changing now. Moving on, verse 9. Wow, look at this. We get our bread at the risk of our lives because of the sword in the wilderness. Bandits, marauding gangs, looters, thieves, wanting to rob and pillage just the average American, minding their own business in the aftermath of what's coming and at the risk of their lives. That's the new America that we see happening.
A man wrote in just one day ago, Nathan, and told me in his community there was 15 homes that were looted. People looking for everything from ammo to gasoline to whatever they could find of value. And I actually experienced 48 hours ago a noise, and I went to put my shoes on to walk out to investigate, and there was someone in my garbage can at about 2:30 in the morning.
Wow. And with that said, would they try what verse 11 says? They ravished the women of Zion, the maidens in the cities of Judah. What we saw in Katrina was just a little teaser appetizer, hors d'oeuvre, of how evil Americans are going to become. They're going to throw away their morality, their compass, and they're going to turn into monsters. We're going to see the Lord of the Flies occur. It's going to be a whole different landscape. And for that one, being the hammer of God, that I don't have a problem with that one. I'll be honest. If anyone comes on my property intending to harm my family, I'm going to be the hammer of God. I'll say that. So that's the thing we're going to be facing, though. In the end of verse 13, the young man ground at the millstones. Boy staggered under loads of wood. The return to child labor, Shannon, is that what this is saying?
Hard yes. labor.
The elders have ceased gathering at the gate. The young men from their, look at this. And young men from their music. So, in other words, no more iPod entertainment and escapism for people that have no virtue and just waste time driving around in their cars and having no responsibilities. You know, I remember they said Generation X and then it was Y and then it was Z. And then I heard it called the generation without a conscience. And now we're beyond that one. We're the generation of pagans and heathen children that only want to gather for themselves carnal pleasures and satisfy themselves for the now because the God of now has taken over their hearts. So that's what we see. The young men will no longer be entertained with their music because now they're going to be working again. Well, will that be a change that will do some of them some good? I guess we'll see, won't we?
I was having a taco the other day at a Mexican restaurant for lunch, and two young girls sat in a booth ahead of me, and I couldn't see them, but I could hear the conversation. And these were young teenage girls, and they were commenting on the fact that they eat out every day. I guess their dad gives them a great allowance. And then their conversation degraded into, did you hear who so-and-ho is with, new girlfriend? And they started to talk about all the fornication and loose living that them and their contemporaries were engaging in. And I said, how far we've dropped. You know, that's coming to an end out there.
When I was in high school 30 years ago, it was totally different. There was a sense and a hint even for non-Christian girls to try to have dignity. But now girls want to be porn stars. They want to sex text each other to their fellow women and their fellow guys. Because why? Because the kids are taught that we come from animals and evolution is real. There's no God. God is dead. So as a result, they act like animals and they play it out. And even today, the morality is so perverted that homosexuality is running rampant amongst our women even more than men. That this spirit of just horrible darkness that has taken over, it's a spirit of harlotry and whoredoms that our children are acting out. It's sad. And that's why it says here in Lamentations, your skins, you're unclean under your skirts. That says it all right there. So why has that happened? How can that be allowed to happen? Well, who are their parents? Who are they being guided by?
Let's take 16-year-old Sally, buy her a Mustang, give her her allowance, and let her do as she please. And we'll check, you know, report card time, and they're out there, no careers in the world. They're having sex, getting pregnant. And what type of situation are they going to find themselves in when this all changes in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye?
Lamentations 5:11 is going to happen to them. They're going to get ravaged by the Chinese when they show up, unfortunately. Or by the marauding thugs that are going to be walking the streets. And I want to segue into that now. We talked about the missile that I saw hit Hawaii. Now, again, I don't know the timeline of that. And I don't know the timeline of the missile that I saw hit Spokane. I was talking to Benjamin Baruch. He called me and he said, Nathan, I just heard your program. And you know, that vision that you saw, you were in front of a bookshelf and then you pulled the book out. He has a gift of interpreting dreams, Shannon. I don't know if you've noticed that, but he told me that he reads into that. And Benjamin, if you're listening, you'll confirm what I'm talking about. He reads into that, that I pulled the book out of the shelf and I opened the book because it was time to study. It was school time. And he surmised, now this is just a guess because he was helping me try to figure this out, but he surmised it could be a possibility that I pulled this book out for school, meaning school, when school starts, which could be in the fall. I don't know. So that one's interesting. We can put that one on the
shelf. Well, there's a verse that talks about the summer has ended, the harvest is over, and we were not saved. We've commented that there would be a summer in the not-too-distant future. I've been thinking this for a while, that would come to pass. Could it be that this fall is the fall of America? I put that question out to people. Let me give it back to you.
Right. Okay. Now then he told me another thing. He said when you were looking at Spokane, it wasn't necessarily just limited to you and Spokane. What it meant was because in your heart, you were wondering if it was going to hit home. You were wondering of the damage near your house. You were looking and you kept searching and seeking. You were very concerned. And he said that was a generality, meaning that was for everyone, meaning everyone in America will see a cloud from where they are. They will see this event take place from their home. It's going to concern everybody, and it's going to affect everybody. So the vision of it being near my house is to be interpreted as it's for everyone, Shannon, which means this thing could play out in either possibly a number of missiles. I saw one hit my area, but it's going to be a lot of them. And on Tuesday night, Steve Quell said he's even heard that there could be as many as 30 of them. Or is it B, it's an EMP that's going to explode over America and affect all of us. Now,
what is an EMP for those who've never heard the term?
Okay, an EMP, and let's talk about this now. An EMP is a electromagnetic pulse. In the early 1960s, when Los Alamos was doing all their experiments with their nuclear explosions, they found out pretty quick that when they exploded a nuclear weapon, it fried the electronics at that time, and we're talking transistors back then. It fried them. They ceased to function. And in fact, from over 1,000 miles away, some of the electronics were affected when they did some explosions out in the ocean as well. So what the military has now honed and refined is that an EMP weapon, if it were to explode at a good strategic location in the middle of the United States of America, and if it was high enough at about 200 to 250 miles in the air, the line of sight from that explosion could reach all the lower 48 states, and the pulse that this bomb would give off would affect all the electronics in the lower 48 that was within the line of sight that was not shielded with a Faraday shield. And basically what that means is everything that we plug in would cease working, all computers, all chips, anything that a battery is connected to, everything electronic would quit working, would be fried, can't work anymore, essentially meaning that within seconds of that explosion, the affected area would be taken back in seconds to the 1800s because no longer would anything modern work. Now, there was a report. Actually, there have been several reports that have been made over the years, and think tanks and government agencies and different scientists and colleges, universities, political groups, and foundations have done many different scenarios and studied the outcome if an EMP were to explode over the United States. And they have, with scientific data using supercomputers and putting in all the particulars of the population and the infrastructure that exists, they've come out with a scenario of how the aftermath would look after the event of an EMP. Now, on Tuesday night when I did my Survive the Thrive program, I had a person email me and said, Nathan, you just got another witness. I just finished watching on C-SPAN 2, a 1.5 hour discussion on EMPs. This aired on Tuesday, and I'm going to give the link right here. This is incredible. If you can write this down, it's c-spanvideo.org. I'll say that again. It's for C-SPAN. c-spanvideo.org/program and then /PULS, pulse. There's no E on pulse, PULS, and the P is capitalized. I don't know if that makes a difference. But at this link, I have it open on my computer right now. It was conducted on August the 15th by the Heritage Foundation with C-SPAN. I haven't had a chance to watch this yet, but the listener that sent me this link, they said that on this program, they said that the United States is going to be hit by an EMP sometime soon. And the government isn't going to protect the people, and it's up to the individuals to prepare and protect themselves with at least a year's worth of food. They said this on this program. And to check into survival communities in their area and bunkers and shelters. And when this thing happens, 2/3 of America, of the American people, will die. They said that on this program.
Holy cow.
2/3. Okay, so listeners, check that out. Watch it. I haven't watched it yet. I plan to, but how amazing is it that they just talked about it just recently? So I did some research, and, you know, if this thing was an EMP, it would surely fulfill what we just read in Lamentations, and it would really serve the purpose of taking us to our knees, and it would serve the purpose of allowing the aftermath of an EMP blast to pretty much kill off. And I have been doing some research on this, and based on some of the reports I'm reading, I'm getting the number of 70 to 90% of Americans will be dead within a year. That's what I'm getting.
Wow.
So imagine China or North Korea or Russia, when they want to invade us and take our farmland, and if they wanted our resources, they could explode the EMP and just wait a year. And then you just come in and clean up the mess, and it's free for the taking. But Lamentation says that foreigners are going to come in. So is an EMP going to happen for sure? That part I do not know, and I'm not prophesying that it will, but I believe something is going to happen. Now, I want to talk about the different affected things that are going to happen after an EMP blast. I see that we have about 20 minutes left, so I'm going to go through this pretty quick.
Now,
what happens immediately after an EMP blast is the electrical substations, the grid, transformers, all fry. They can't handle the overload of the radiation, so they burst, and it does a chain reaction throughout the United States. All the power is gone. So instantly, in a fraction of a second, 1 second we're watching the news, the next second There's no more power. Now, here's the aftermath. The EMP essentially fries everything electric and electronic. So right off the bat, most modern cars today, any car after 1970 uses computer chips and electronics, they would be fried. The electronic ignition on a car would be fried. Everything that makes a car run, it's going to be dead. So we're going to have the world's largest traffic jam. Now, let's say that there was an EMP that exploded over the middle of the United States and the line of sight was able to reach all four corners of the lower 48. Okay, instantly, anyone in a car would stop. On the interstate, between cities, they would stop. Truckers with their supplies, stop. They can't move. No one with a car. So if it's in the rush hour, it stops. Air conditioning turns off. Cars do not run anymore. No automobiles. Okay? This also means that those hybrid-friendly green cars, they no longer work. They're fried for sure.
Yeah.
And all the pumps at gas stations quit working. So if someone happens to have an older 1960 Ford truck that might work, the pumps don't work, though. So then it's up to them to open up the tanks and try to siphon it out. Good luck with that. But who's going to be watching you do that? So cars don't work, meaning that wherever you are when it happens, that's where you will be. So if you're 10 miles from home, that means you're going to walk home, unless you have a bicycle in the back of your pickup truck. So alternative transportation will be limited to whoever has it. So just let your imagination run wild. Bicycles, skateboards, roller skates. I mean, how far can that take you? We're not China. We don't have rickshaws. So for those people that might have horses, they can use a horse. But people are going to be walking home when this thing happens. Now, aside from that one, whatever groceries they have in the car, whatever the supplies they have, if they have their child, if they have their feeble relatives, they're walking home. If they have relatives that can't walk or they're on a wheelchair or they're crippled, they're going to have a good challenge. Okay, now on top of that, life is going to change for every one of us as we know it. Now, according to some of the studies, there will be no power for at least 6 months to 1 year. But by then, that, 70-80% of the population is dead. So older generators may work, but how much fuel do they have?
Right.
That's if the generator is a pull start and it's not attached to a computer system or a battery. So the generators are done. Instant culture change, emotional havoc. How many people will be depressed? Now, how about this other thing, Shannon? We are addicted to the communication age. We rely on our text messages, our cell phones, our Twitters. We don't know how to use smoke signals. So all the phones will cease to function. Any relatives that you're not with, you won't know where they are. There will be no way to contact them. We're all in the dark. Radios won't work. No TV, no C-SPAN, no CNN will tell us what's going on. There's no internet. There's no blog talk. There's no Watchman's Cry. And there's no longer any Omega Man. Interesting. No communication with the outside world. Rumors will spread. Panic will spread. And as it continues, then whoever has the ability to try to walk to town to their neighbor that has a ham radio, if perchance their neighbor has one, what information will they be able to glean? It's going to be a big challenge to be in the dark. We rely so much on just-in-time information, but put that out the window. Unless we have homing pigeons and, as I said, smoke signals, we will be in the dark. Now, let's move on from there. No power for the water company in every city of America. They turn on the tap. Whatever water is under pressure from the tank, from those big tower tanks, it will last until those tanks are empty. But after that, there's no more water. Instantly, the sewage systems are going to be off. So when people flush their toilets in the city, as they go the gravity fed downwards, eventually the sewer lines are going to back up and they're going to backflow eventually to where people cannot flush anymore. Just use your imagination. Overflow toilets. How long would that take? A week? 2 weeks? A month? Where it's full of putrid smelling
biomass?
A couple of days. The stench will be unbearable. We read in by the way, Lamentations 1:9 and 1:17 talked about unclean, unclean. Well, this is now the physical of unclean because they had unclean in their hearts with sinful stains. Now they're going to be unclean in the flesh. And when you're unclean in the flesh, there's no showering. There's no grooming so that they can go be harlots and whores and do all their sexual perversities. Now, as we read in Lamentations, their skin is as black as soot. They're full of dirt. They're not going to be thinking of their pleasures. And that's what happens in judgment. Pleasure goes out the window. Disease will follow quickly. Why? No garbage pickup. How long will that take to have the garbage at the end of the street, at the end of the driveway, piling higher and higher? for the vermin to be attracted, the rats to come, the stench in the summer months, horrendous. Okay? Then after that, we have the vermin taking over all the garbage. We have the maggots. We have the flies taking over all the garbage. Every city in the heat of summer, the dead of summer, flies everywhere. And that's judgment too, by the way. Egypt saw it. Moving on, we're going to see stores evaporated of their supplies in minutes. People will go crazy. They're going to run to the store and say, I have to get supplies. Unfortunately, their money will not work. The cash registers don't work. The scanners don't work. The debit cards don't work. So the ATMs don't work. There's no money, Shannon. Instantly, as you were mentioning the judgment of Joseph, now we have no money. The food supply will be out within hours or minutes. It won't take very long. And then come those that are the marauding gangs, those that are troublemakers, those that want to burn down their cities. The arsonists will evolve. Fire departments won't have any water to put out fires. They won't have vehicles to drive to the fires. Houses and businesses will freely burn with nothing to put them out. Parts of city will be up in smoke. As we read in Lamentations, the rich man will now have piles and heaps of ashes. We read that. Now, how about this? No police, no sheriffs, no police car, only on foot at first. How long would they want to continue this? How long would they last? How long would they remain? How many will be attacked and killed off by the bad neighborhoods on people that want revenge? How many police officers will say, I didn't sign up for this, and take off their badge and go live in their house and try to protect themselves? No citizens will have any way to call for help. The result, thugs will come out like roaches, pirates, thieves, with no conscience. The judgment of darkness is going to be over the land, the heart of darkness, a contagion upon many. It's going to be the heart of the beast, which is part of the fourfold judgment. And we read that in Revelation 18:2. He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, and cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Shannon, we're going to see the great release of evil. Stores, pharmacies immediately are going to be emptied of all their supplies. Now, Shannon, think of this. As we read in that book, One Second After, the pharmacies, how many fathers are going to be concerned about their children that have asthma, that need regular medicine, diabetics, epileptics? How many elderly are going to be worried about their heart medicine that they have to renew every month, their beta blockers, diabetics? I mean, we can go on down the line. So many people rely on their medicine. That's why if it happens like this, and when the pharmacies are ransacked and looted, we can pretty much estimate using logic and reason that there's going to be a segment of society that won't last longer than 30 to 60 days, just right there. What about the people that need dialysis? What about the people in ICU and hospitals, the people on ventilators and iron lungs? All of them, when the power's out, the generator might work for a little bit if it was shielded. If it's not, a lot of hospitals are going to have the stench of dead bodies. Also, we're going to see hospitals robbed of medicine by desperate, as I said, parents, but also desperate thieves and druggies who just want to get their fix. So the asthmatics, the people with allergies, they're going to be in trouble. We're going to see a great influx of medical deaths right off the bat in the ICU, the breathing machines, etc., the newborn babies, the preemies, surgeries that are going to be going on. This is a nightmare, what we're talking about right here. Incredible nightmare. And then think about the ambulances en route, the defibrillators that don't work. I mean, it goes on and on and on. We don't understand the scope of this. And then the nursing homes, the elderly that need their medicine to continue their frail bodies. What if it's in the middle of summer? AC's off. It's 115 degrees inside the nursing home. Or if it's in the middle of winter, it's below freezing. People freeze to death nationwide. So either way, it's going to be a nightmare. Then we go on. What happens to the dead? The new diseases, the new infections, all of the horrible bacteria that's going to be in every city. People can't use a backhoe to bury the dead, so now it's by hand. But we have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands.
They'll be piling them into stadiums and setting bonfires.
Exactly. Now, how about this one, Shannon? Airline travel. I did some research, and the FAA says on their website 7,000 between public and private in America at any given time or in the air. 7,000. Every one of those planes is going to become a bomb. And where are they going to land? These are bombs with people inside. Do they land in cities, in shopping malls, in houses? Do they start forest fires? How many forest fires will happen from all the airplanes falling? I mean, it goes on. Think about this. When Revelation says a third of the forest was burned up, oh, this could work, couldn't it? An EMP worldwide? That's a side note. That's another show. But anyway, moving on, food gets depleted. Those who can hunt and fish, how long does the game population last? How long do the fish last before they're decimated? A week? 2 weeks? Of course, the money doesn't work. No ATMs. People can't buy food. Who's going to care about your $100 bill during this time? What's going to be the value thing in this time? As we read in Lamentations, it's going to be bread.
That's so right. Currency will be food.
Exactly. The people that have prepared beforehand, that have food to trade for whatever, it's going to be gold. So this thing is going to be an incredible, incredible nightmare. Think of this. The manufacturing is done. All the factories are done. Everyone's unemployed. No one goes to work. All of the electronics are fried. How do you fix the transformers if you have a transformer factory in America and your tools got fried?
You
wherever
don't.
Your
it's
location
not coming
is.
Back online.
No, not for a long time. All production will cease to function. No deliveries. The store gets depleted. That's it. The trains will stop. No more
deliveries.
Nathan, we're at the 3-minute warning. Heads up.
Okay, so this thing is going to play out as the end of the world as we know it. Shannon, this thing, I mean, I can talk about further and further, but what is the answer in all of this? And how is this thing going to play out? That's the big mystery, but we're under judgment, and the next phases, the next chapters are, they're barreling toward us right now. I challenge everybody to repent. I didn't have enough time to preach and challenge the repentance message here, Shannon. Listeners, go to my website at watchmanscry.com. I have messages how to repent, how to seek God, how to pray, how to deal with these things. Watchmanscry.com in the audio page.
Your only answer, folks, is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
We have 2 minutes left. What would you like to say in those remaining time?
It doesn't matter where you are, Shannon. I got saved in my bedroom when I was 17 years old. I repented. Folks, listeners, the time is now to make your bedroom an altar. The time is now to turn off the TV. The time is now to seek the shelter of God and to step it up. And let's come back to God. Let the fold become full. Let those that are along the hedges come back to the path. Shannon, God loves the backslider, and he wants them to return.
Yes. And God can provide for you, and even in dark times, folks, but outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is not going to be any hope for you. You need to turn to him while he may be found. Nathan, give people your contact information. Tell them how they can support your ministry.
Watchmanscry.com. They can go there, and I have an email link. If anyone has any questions or prayer requests, I do have intercessors, a group of intercessors that can pray for you.
So, if they would like to support you financially, is there a PayPal link that they can do so?
I appreciate that, Shannon. Yes, there's a PayPal link on the homepage for that, and our address as well. So that's there.
We have 1 minute remaining, brother. Any parting comments?
Shannon, I just want to see souls return to God. And if any souls are bitter or they think that they've gone too far, I know that this sounded depressing. If I had enough time, I was going to come back to it. Lamentations 3 talks about the mercies of God. His mercies never end. They are new every morning. The steadfast love of God. Great is thy faithfulness. Shannon, he forgives 70 times 7. He's waiting to forgive.
Psalms 91:15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Folks, read Psalms 91:15. Even in the midst of the storm, God can give us joy and God can provide for you, but you've got to seek him. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no hope. Brother, God bless you for coming on tonight. You're welcome here anytime. It's been an honor and pleasure to be with you tonight, Nathan.
Thank you, brother. God bless.
Folks, check out watchmanscry.com. Nathan Leal. This program will be up in MP3 in about 5 minutes. I want to thank everybody that tuned in. Any second, it's going to kick me off the dial. Powerful show tonight, watchmanscry.com. Support Nathan Leal, a true watchman of the Lord. And, folks, there is only one name written under heaven by which man might be saved, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Call him while he may be found. God bless each and every one of you.
Omega Man Radio has been commissioned to invade deep into enemy territory, drive out the host of hell, and take back the land. Our mission is to preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the only name written under heaven by which men might be saved. Cast out demons and pray for the sick that they may be healed in Jesus' name. If this program is a blessing to you and you would like to take part in this harvest of men's souls, join with us and attack the host of hell by donating any amount online at www.omegamanradio.com. You may also donate by sending check or money order payable to Bruce Lee at 9030 West Sahara Avenue, Suite 665, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89117.